Good morning. It's Northland Morning on KUMD 103.3 Duluth Public Radio. I'm Adam Reinhart, and I'm joined today by Dr. Edward Downs from the Communications Department at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Dr. Downs does research into the impacts of media, and that's just what we're here to talk about today. How's it going, Dr. Downs?
Very good. Thank you.
Absolutely. So we wanted to sort of investigate the conversation around social media and sort of the transformation in media. In the day and age now, we lose sight of the fact that it was only in 2004 that Facebook was invented. You know, right. The first iPhone came out in 2007. And so we're really looking at a relatively recent change in the way that we're consuming media. Sure. I don't know about you, but I get most of my information from the Facebook feed.
Right.
If you just want to start by kind of, if you can explore or a little bit, talk a little bit about what that change means or how it's kind of happened in the recent decade or so.
Sure. Well, it's obviously it's a lot easier to get information out to a much more diversified, stratified audience, right?
Sure.
Although there's, just like with any traditional mass medium, there's not necessarily any promise that it's actually getting to the right people. When you look at all the weak ties that people have through social media, it brings together a lot of people that you normally wouldn't have in the same room with each other, right?
Yeah.
And oftentimes, of course, on social media, there's the potential for discourse to go awry.
Sure.
Right? It seems like in today's climate, there are just a lot of issues where it seems like people feel they have to win an argument and not just be part of a conversation. Social media certainly allows that to kind of fester in some cases and allows that to kind of almost be kind of blown out of proportion, I think.
So at times, social media can be more of an adversarial platform instead of one that allows for substantive conversation.
Right. Yeah. More and more, I do see instances that, just to give some conversation to the other side, I have seen on occasion some instances where groups of people who are kind of loosely tied together that have some sort of difference of opinion, I have seen rational discourse online. And I think that's what it was intended to be. But by and large, that doesn't appear to be the norm. And I think when we join groups, the whole idea of joining a group or joining a community is to find people that are already like us, right?
Yeah.
And when we do that, we kind of get used to hearing the same old echo chamber. And I think that's one of the negative things about social media in some ways, is that when we pick groups, we pick people that are like us, and it doesn't force us to engage with people that have differences of opinion.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, I'm sure the listeners can, you know, understand in their own personal experiences this happening. But what's happened to me is, you know, I'll like someone's post, and then because of the algorithm on Facebook, Facebook thinks that that's all I want to see. And so that echo chamber that you're talking about is sort of facilitated by Facebook's algorithm.
Right.
And it's really kind of narrowing down your audience to the point that, you can, I feel like I've plugged into Facebook before and it's only expressing my political point of view.
Right. In a way that where traditional media from 15 years ago, if you were watching the news, you couldn't help but be exposed to messages from both sides, or both sides of the coin.
I think younger generations are tuned into the fact that some of our, kind of bringing it back to social media here, that some of the social media, the ways social media is incorporated into our lives don't necessarily make us happy.
Right.
And they don't really fulfill what people are looking for ultimately. And what do you have to say on that? How is that playing out in an academic kind of point of view?
Sure. There's some really good research that's being done right now. Jesse Fox from Ohio State is doing some great work looking at what social media in general is doing to people's perceptions. She's looking at things like trait narcissism. She's looking at a lot of other dark variables. And people like Catalita Toma at University of Wisconsin, again, looking at the overall impact of what social media is doing to people. Now, there are pros and cons to using social media, right? For somebody like myself, whose family is on the East Coast, it's great because I'm able to connect and share things, and that's great. The other side of that is you're basically seeing idealized versions of people's lives.
Sure.
Fully edited, you know, people using the best pictures, people even photoshopping pictures so that they look even more perfect. And when you're connected to 150 or 300, or we all know those people, you know, 1,500 friends.
Sure, yeah. Yep.
It's hard to not be impacted by looking at, you know, 1,000 people's perfect lives, and then you think about your own, and you're like, oh, wow, I'm not doing any of these things. which you are in the probably in the same proportion as a lot of other people, but multiplied times 1,000, it doesn't feel like you're quite there.
Sure.
And so when you look at it like that, that can be difficult.
Yeah. And there are, I'm happy you brought up the point that there are positive things about this advance in technology and this whole new kind of almost seems like a different consciousness that we're kind of existing in, where a lot of your life is playing out on those social media platforms. So I think it is important to bring up the positive things. Do you have any other, insights into the way that maybe social media has an opportunity to do good things for people, or ways to better the use that people are the way people are interacting with social media?
Sure. Well, I think social media are doing some good things. It's just easier for us, maybe even from an evolutionary perspective, some people would argue it's easier for us to focus on the negative, because historically speaking, focusing on the negative means that we would be prepared for something that hopefully wouldn't kill us, right? We don't need to prepare to be happy. And so we don't focus on the good sides. But social media has done a great job of allowing people to mobilize. There have been rallies for all kinds of things. I've seen fundraisers. I've seen kickstart campaigns for people who are having invasive surgeries, organ transplant, things like that to help families. So there are some things that it's doing very well. One of the things that is a cautionary tale, though, one of the things that I think we need to be concerned about, maybe in two areas, is don't go to social media to expect to have a rational conversation with a group of people that you don't know very well about whether or not your political ideology is right or wrong or better or worse, right? Because that's not going to play out in an open forum like that. You're much better off sitting down with somebody one-on-one, having a cup of coffee, and that's saying, let's find where we meet, instead of turning this into a game of who's going to win the argument. The other side of that, just really quick, is I've seen it used very negatively for cyberbullying. And especially, I think it's very different when I was younger and social media wasn't around in high school. I think it's very difficult for children. We're talking about children and adolescents who are just learning about this great opportunity to network, but don't necessarily have the responsibility of their experience or the code embedded into them just yet, and which is why we see bullying, and which is why we see people becoming victimized, not just in front of a group of people like traditional bullying used to be, but now being victimized in front of an open forum, a nameless or a sizeless group of people that just feels like infinity.
Absolutely. And so on the topic of sort of controlling that negative information, I know Facebook has policies about what information can be on there. There's some recent news about Alex Jones being removed from some of those social media platforms.
Right.
And what gets me there is it's an interesting thing, but we're expressing ourselves so much through these private corporations, and they're sort of now responsible for controlling the way that what's being said and what's not. Not saying that the things that they're blocking shouldn't be blocked, because obviously they have good rationale behind not disclosing the information. But what are your thoughts on the idea that a private corporation's now dictating sort of what is out there for people to ingest?
Well, that's a really good question, and there's not a short answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
The question, it basically comes down to First Amendment rights versus a private owner's right to control content. And I think we've never really had to worry too much about these types of questions, but they've become salient in recent years. And I think this is something that's just going to have to play itself out, both in the court of public opinion and in the courts.
From your opinion, so this is something that kind of I was thinking about as I was preparing for the interview, is how do you wrestle with doing academic research on something that's so quickly evolving? It's just constantly changing.
Yeah.
If you started your research 10 years ago on something, might not even be, the guy who started the MySpace research back in whatever, he's totally out of luck now. So how do you wrestle with that as a professor?
Sure. It's a great question. And it seems to me like the research that's going on now, looking at social media now, you'll see published in the next 18 months. The publication cycle for, generally speaking, for scientific peer-reviewed journals is going to be, there could be an 18-month window. That's not unheard of. So the research will always be behind what the contemporary fashion is, right? So it is difficult. But I think in order to do quality research, there needs to be that lag time. When people rush research, you get rushed results. So that's just kind of one of those issues that you have to deal with. But there are people in the community, although the research may take a while to publish, there are still people in the community that go and do talks, And so I think the best thing, if people who are interested in this, is the research will be there eventually, but look for people in the community. Look for the opinion leaders in the PTA meetings and the public places that are doing these types of talks.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Dr. Downs, I really appreciate you taking some time and giving some insight into this really complex and dynamic situation that we have going on with social media in our daily lives.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
That was Dr. Edward Downs from the University of Minnesota Duluth Communications Department talking a little bit about social media in our daily lives and potential ways to better manage it. I'm Adam Reinhart, and you're listening to Northland Morning News on KUMD 103.3.